Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to this broadcast. As we get into the Word of God, I am so happy to be here, just to be breathing in this world, knowing that my time is not at an end, so that I may continue to keep doing what the Lord has instructed me to do, so that I may keep doing the ministry for the kingdom before my time ends. We have so much death around us. This week has been an alarming week. I'm in prayer. My ministry is Waters of Everlasting Life, No Souls Left Behind. We are in prayer today for Pastor Marshbanks in Sullivan, Alabama, who will be burying his brother tomorrow morning at 11. And we're also in prayer for Miss Loretta Jones, who will be burying her sister tomorrow morning. And the devil is busy. It is time for the saints to really get more serious, more active, more involved in what the Lord has called them to do. And my prayer this evening is for those that are looking for church homes, those who want more of the Lord, want more intimacy with Him, want to exude more of His righteousness through who they are so that they may seek and bring more people into the kingdom. My prayer for 2016. It's for the Lord to activate that immediately, because we don't have time in this hour. He's calling names left and right, and he has given us opportunities, many opportunities over and over, space to get it right. But we all know that mercy ends at some point, and our names are called, and we must stand in front of the Lord and give account of what we've done with our life. And I wanted to speak with you all today about what the Lord says during this time of revival, because we're online during this revival, but people are tuning in, and people will tune in later on tonight. As we pray into this situation, what the Lord says and what the Lord is commanding us in this hour, he has said that this is his house, and that's my message today during this revival online. This is my house. The Lord has asked me to tell you, this is my house, he says. I want to talk to the saints of God about a place everyone is familiar with, and that is home. Although we know that there are indeed homeless people in America and across the globe, if a person, if you walked up to them and they could tell you what they could imagine a home to be if they were homeless, they would always include peace in the home. Is that not what a home embodies? Anyone knows a home is where you are going to have a family, usually. You're going to have your furnishings there, things that you consider valuable, important. You're going to put them in your home. It's a place where you eat and dine and have friends over. But a home's very essence symbolizes peace. That is why today you hear the word broken home. You know, it's kind of like an oxymoron, a broken home, but it's not. We see broken homes every day, and we're seeing more and more broken homes. We're seeing children come out of broken homes because there's trouble in the home. There's trouble all across the land, but there is trouble in the home. Today, the home is where problems are arising to and fro. Marriages are failing. They're under attack. Children are running from the very homes they were raised in, or children are causing parents and the people that love them, their mother and father, the children are causing them grief in the home, all because of usually one thing, rules. They don't want to obey the rules. Disobedience, it is what it all breaks down to, not wanting to follow the rules. Now, we know we all got preferences, but these are not rules. When we're shopping for a home, let's say, you have preferences. I prefer a large kitchen. Some people prefer a swimming pool, or it has to be in a certain neighborhood or close to the interstate. Yes, we all have preferences, but after you buy the house, because seriously, buying a home is a serious business, it is considered one of the most important things you will do in your life. So after buying your home and adhering to some of the preferences you've had, you move in, and you are going to make some rules. You're going to have some rules in this home. Some people will say stuff like, I don't want any smoking in my house, or I don't want any pets. No, I don't want people even bringing pets in my home because I don't want my house messed up. If you break these rules, the host or house owner will most likely let you know. If they don't, you may not ever get invited back because, see, that's their house. And by breaking rules, the balance has been agitated. And people can't have that. You know, you've got to see, to most people, they like a nice home, see. It will be decorated with some themes. Maybe the bathroom has seashells all around the ceiling and seashells from different oceans along the banister. You know, I'm just giving an example. Maybe seashell rugs around the toilet and certain seashells over the tub. This person, they prefer like an ocean motif. It makes the house cozy. You know, it shows a little personality. But the next year they may do something a little different, you know. They might do a little Dora the Explorer because now they have a baby girl added to the home, and this will be her bathroom, let's say, perhaps. See, the area can change in the home to meet themes or to meet your preferences. But, again, these are preferences. They're not rules. There is still no smoking, and there are still no pets. Understand? See, because these balances here incorporate into people's lifestyle, see. There's no smoking. That's a rule. And there's no pets. Compromisable. And I know you know where I'm going. These are the same requests that God our Lord has of us when we have been born again, and we want to worship him in his house. We want to worship him in his name. We want to get in his house. But saints, where the Lord is, we just can't walk up there and have a place next to the King of Kings, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, the Counselor, the Creator, without living according to the rules of his house. We can't be fooled. We must not be fooled into thinking that we can just walk the broad path in life and slide under the pearly gates and walk the streets of gold before you get anything in life, and especially the inheritance of God after death. There will be house rules to follow. The Lord said to his people who were desecrating the temple, doing things their way, man's way. We see that today. We see more man's way in the church now than we ever have seen, and it's very scary. But the Lord saw them desecrating the temple, doing it, like I said, man's way. And in Matthew 21:12, it says, "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it into a den of thieves." Yes, the house of God, even today in most places, sit as a large building on the corner block, absent of holiness, ripe with disingenuousness, neither welcoming when you enter, and will you still seek when you leave? Because man is doing it man's way and have broken the rules of God's house. His house is a house of prayer. Prayer is the only divine communication accepted by the Lord. It's the only divine communication with the Lord we have. I don't know any other weapon more effective. I don't know about you, but I want to obey rules of the house. We have got to do what God says. We've got to straighten up and quit believing we can live any kind of way we wish all our life long and think that God is going to be having mercy on us the whole way through, and thinking we got so much time and that God understands and that God sees the heart and that, oh, God knows I'm trying, and all these things we hear people say so much. Oh, God favors me, but you hadn't opened your Bible since 1963. Oh, no, you got to know your word somehow. Otherwise, how can you fight the wiles, the fiery darts of the devil? If you would look with me to the text defining our revival online tonight, you can grab your Bible and turn with me as I structure what we're talking about, because the Lord says, this is my house. We're looking at Exodus 25:8 as the scripture defining this holy message tonight. It says, God, in Exodus 25:8, God is speaking to Moses, his words to the Israelites after they have been delivered from Egypt. Now, they didn't went all through the plagues, and they have crossed over the Red Sea. And Exodus 25:8 says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof. Even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold. Within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shall make upon it a crown of gold around about. The Lord is very specific and meticulous with how he wants this house constructed. If you go into that particular chapter of 25, you will see the next several chapters, and I did say next several, they specify the Lord's rules. See, because these are his rules. Those are preferences with us. But when the Lord declares something, it's a rule. And he had rules for how he wanted the tabernacle, or where they were going to praise him and worship him. He had rules on how he wanted it constructed and put together. From burnt offerings, you will see in the next chapters, even to Aaron's robe, the Lord is specific how he wants the robe made. It's very particular. It's down to the nine, as we say now. And specific, and the instructions aren't negotiable, because when the Israelites moved from one camp to another, the tent of meetings and the tabernacles, it was deconstructed. You know, it was movable. They had to move it. You know, it was mobile. You can look in Numbers chapter 4, and you can see that God would not allow the sacred furnishings and the tent of meetings to be transported in wagons or carts. See, he required that they be carried on the shoulders of the Levites. Another name for shittim wood is acacia wood. It's beautiful, it's light, it's practical, it's indestructible. It was ideal for the multiple moves that the Israelites made in their years of journeying on the Sinai Peninsula and during their final march to Canaan. The Bible identified the wood, the shittim wood we just talked about in the tabernacle, as acacia. You know, we're more familiar with that word. But the Jewish rabbinic writings asserted that acacia trees doesn't have any knots in it. It doesn't have any fissures when they cut it. And when the patriarch Jacob had this wood in Egypt, his descendants took this into the captivity. So they had this in Egypt. And so thus far, when they moved and crossed the Red Sea, they took this wood with them. And so when Moses is instructed by the Lord to build this tabernacle with shittim wood, the people had it to offer for the tabernacle. And so it was used as the Lord requested. Today, when I was talking with the Lord, I said, Lord, you definitely had some long instructions on the tabernacle. And he said to me, I'm a carpenter. Did not come as a carpenter. Said that so clear to me. And I went, yes. I thought, yeah, you did come as a carpenter, yes. Everybody knows that Jesus' occupation was a carpenter. And we know carpenters have to really be specific about how they measure everything in a home. You know, if it's unbalanced, the house may fall. You know, so he said that he didn't come as a carpenter. And he also told me, I created every hair on your head. I formed you in the womb with the same particulars. And he said he knew me before he created me by hand. And I have pondered this today so heavily, how marvelous for him to tell me that he had the same type of meticulous instructions in creating me as he did the tabernacle, because he told me he knows every hair on my head, every piece of my DNA he put together. And so when he's building this tabernacle to be worshipped, he does not want a house just thrown together. He wants the best. And he wants his best attended by and worshiped by saints who do not slack and come into his house any kind of way. He loves his house. It's holy. It's sanctified. The righteous will dwell there. Think about how much you put into your home and know he has something more than we could ever dream. And he tells us this. Does he not tell us in John 14:2? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. If you think about these people, think about how long the Lord has been gone and what he's preparing. What could humans build? What kind of structure could a human build in 2,000 years? So it must be a house that our carnal minds could never think. Doesn't 1 Corinthians 2:9 tell us? But it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the mind of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. With this in mind, God's house cannot be just entered into. You just can't flop up in there. We must die daily. Paul says, as we humble ourselves, obey his law. You know, we love others who spitefully use us because, saints, the kingdom is worth it. It's not to be compared to this present suffering. We know now to get in a club. We know now when we was out there, we knew that when you go to a club in the world, you have to have your admission fee. Certain clubs had a dress rule, so you had to dress a certain way. Some would say no ball caps, no tennis shoes. And if you start fighting, well, you're going to get put out of the club because that's a rule. Now, we also know if you want a job, you just can't walk up in a building, sit down at a chair, and start working. You got to fill out an application. You got to go through a background check. You got to have some references, sometimes a credit check. These are their rules to get into corporations. Only after this, you may receive some benefits. As an employee, saints, that's how it works. Saints, this is man's criteria for earthly gain. So, yet, if we can understand the wishes of God, because he did send down 10 commandments, so we have a blueprint of the carpenter to get in his house, but it calls for a different mindset. Well, I guess you say, how this mindset come about, minister? When I work all day, I get home late, there's already confusion in my house, and I'm wrestling with the devil. How do I get this mindset? Paul tells us in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. Our minds have to first be focused on God. No matter how busy we are, no matter what that job demands of us, our minds must be focused on the Lord who is in heaven more than we focus on the world. We must separate ourselves from what I call repeat offenders. This is the people who do not want God and can't stand you and mean you no good because you love God. We have to put them on the altar and go on. That's something I've been pressing myself on. We got to move on, see, because the kingdom is coming, and I'm going when the kingdom comes. So if you don't want the Lord, move out of my way, because I have tried it, and I have tried him. You know, if we have to move on, or you know what, if we keep on, they will taint your anointing. Believe this. They will make you miss out on a blessing, have you in jail, have you under the jail, have you on death row. Our constant reminder when things are going badly is focusing on the Lord. We want to get into God's house. We can't let the devil use people to get in our homes because our homes should be reflecting a godly home, the place we are aiming to go. Doesn't Joshua say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I am a workman, you know, that needeth not be ashamed. Doesn't Timothy tell us that? I am seeking, I am knocking, I am wanting doors to open so I may see God's house. Therefore, I and my husband are gatekeepers at our house. We're the gatekeepers. We keep confusion out of this house. We can't have a divided house or to fall. Our house does serve the Lord. Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? So we can't be divided on what it takes to get to heaven and be in the house of the Lord. Division is the enemy, and division is what the enemy uses the most. When the Sadducees and Pharisees were criticizing Jesus, saying he was casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub, Matthew 12:26 says, what did he say? And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? 28:29 tells us, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. See, we must know at this hour who has the deed to the house. God has the deed to my house. My body is a temple. That's God's house. It shall not be divided. My home that I share with my husband, God has the deed. I have forbid the devil to strategically use anyone I come in contact with to come in my home and spoil my house. This is God's house. I tell you, command that thing and give power to it. Anybody knows if you have a person that's always keeping up mess, always breaking rules everywhere else, more than likely you don't want them in your house. Why would God want them in his house? Psalms 1:5 tells us, he said it, I didn't. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. We have permission there. We have permission right there, here in our own homes, to let the sinner be made aware of the rules. And although we can love the sinner, we must hate the sin. Saints, we are called to higher. As we go higher, we can pull people with us, but they must be willing to walk. Otherwise, you're trying to carry them, and you'll let your oil burn out and miss the bridegroom. I didn't make the rules to get to heaven. It's in the Bible. Everybody has an opportunity to get it right or get left. Everybody. The carpenter has given us the blueprint for entering his house. I'm like Paul. I am persuaded that nothing shall separate me from the everlasting life and no one. I am not a lover of this world. That has died in me. To those who are all about material gain in this hour, it makes me shudder with regret. I see loved ones just like you. I see friends and I see foes just like you too. They're glued to Facebook all day, posting all their business, their intimate information, their own Facebook. You know, Facebook won't get you to heaven. The good book will. At one church I used to attend several years ago, I would see folks in the house of God during prayer, during communion, during praise, even during a sermon, posting on Facebook. The Lord says, this is my house. Any old thing can't go on here. For those places that aren't taking note in this hour, the glory is departing. For some, the glory has departed. God won't stay there. Even in the book of Ezekiel, we see the Lord's glory depart such a place. Chapters 10:18 in Ezekiel says, then the glory of the Lord departed threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. When the Lord says this is his house, we know it can't look like a club, folks dancing, miming, rapping. When the Lord says this is my house, we don't go inside with our cleavage out like we in a pageant for Miss America. When the Lord says, this is my house, we should see love more than confusion and praise more than protocol. If I'm going to be in church all day long, I want to be praising the Lord. I don't have that type of time for protocol. If I'm going to be in church all day long, I want to be singing to the Lord. If I'm going to be in church all day long, and the Lord says this is his house, I want to be worshiping the Lord. It's the Lord's house, saints. The most important thing we should remember about when someone is an owner, authority comes with that. Authority is power. It's like when you get a car, and it's your car. You drive your car around, you got ways to maintain your car, but anybody just don't get in your car and start doing anything. That's like your home. If you give your authority away, you give ownership away. God is not going to force himself on anyone. But you can best believe a warning comes before destruction. Does he not warn Adam and Eve to not eat the fruit from the tree of life? Look at the church of Thyatira in Revelations 2 and 20. It says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Now, he didn't talk about seven churches, but one of them really gets it, and it's Thyatira. In Revelations 2 and 20, he says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her, he said, space to repent for her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, into a great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Pull out a piece of that scripture, say. It says, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants. He has said right there, y'all have allowed her to come into my house and do what she wants. You have allowed that Jezebel spirit to come in and manipulate my people. You have allowed that Jezebel spirit to come into my house and seduce my folks. You have allowed, you have allowed, you have allowed, is what he's saying. You have permitted, you have thought it fine, you have thought it okay to let these things go in my house. And he says, if you do not repent, and that's what he's telling the church today, you have allowed, you have permitted, you're not even worshiping me. Y'all coming in doing everything but giving me worship. And so what does he say? I will cast. Didn't he cast Satan down when Satan couldn't abide in his house? Didn't he cast Adam and Eve down because they didn't obey, they broke his rules? The Lord loves, but he does send warning before destruction. Repent. We can't allow anything in the Lord's home. I want to tell you, before we cut out of here this evening, I want to tell you, when the Lord is done giving space to repent, it's done when you die. There is no more time. But the saints of God who are on the battlefield right now, I tell you, the saints of God who are on the battlefield right now, Lord Jesus, speak to them. Because we are enduring some mighty battles. We are enduring some mighty battles. We are standing beside, and we need to be standing beside, saints, another soldier who got your back. We need to be standing beside a soldier who is also fully suited up for war in this hour and knows the rules of the house. He will stand and he will endure and not faint. It is these soldiers that stand at the gate. They are the gatekeepers. Seeing others fall in battle, burying some, and continue to move forward, protecting the Lord's house. They are the ones in this hour who are living holy. They are the ones in this hour that will go, even if they got to go by themselves, even if they got to go with folks criticizing, they go. These are the ones on the battlefield, Lord Jesus, bless them. These are the ones in this hour, bless them, Jesus, the soldiers that are still on the battlefield, that wage war against the enemy and won't turn back, trying to save their child, that's trying to save their husband, that's trying to save their family members. We war against this demon. We are on the battlefield. This is a word for you. In this hour, the Lord is raising you to higher purpose. You're on the battlefield because you will be able to get the gifts of the Lord to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to prophesy, to raise children in your home, to love the Lord thy God. These are the ones on the battlefield, for they know he is soon to come. They know they are looking to the hill, they are looking to the sky for him to crack it any day now, and they are about their father's business. It is these soldiers who knows it's his house. It is these that will get to the promised land. They won't wander 40 years in the wilderness. It is these soldiers the mansion is being prepared for, because they have stood in the gap. They have fasted. They have prayed. And they have walked the straight and narrow, as bitter as it has been and can be. They have walked it. They have endured the rain in their face, the sleet in their face. They have endured it. They have endured the enemy attacks. They have endured being outnumbered. They are anointed, these soldiers on the battlefield, the saints of God. They are anointed. Their homes are anointed. Jesus, bless them. Their homes are anointed. They have kept their bodies as temples, because they know when they come into the presence of the Lord, His Spirit is so amazing, and they are seeking it everlasting in. The warriors are seeking His everlasting presence because it's so heavenly. And they hear Him saying, yes, children, because you have suffered, and because you have protected my gate and my word, and you did not faint, and you have come into that holy place where you meet Him when times are not what they should be, and He meets you at that appointed time, and you know it's Him, and He tells you, yes, children, this is my house. This is my house. I want to end this revival with just thanking the Lord just for what He does daily in our lives. And I thank you all for tuning in for this online revival today. And may God bless you. Amen.